signs are pointing to NitroBeer being a 10 out of 10 website, but it won't receive 10 out of 10 because the main poster happened to appear on another website on the internet a while back. That is bullshit. You don't see people giving thickmustache.com an 8 out of 10 score because we use the same mustache from thickmustache.com. I mean, Jesus, can you believe the nerve, guys?
In fairness, when you see a reviewer throw down an 8 out of 10 or a 4 out of 5, you get the distinct feeling they're trying to make a statement, like they're special or different, and they see things in a more critical light. They're fully aware this website offers a polished package that almost no other website this year will deliver, and they're going to make sure it's not getting the highest score possible.
And, I mean, Cliffy B was right about NitroBeer, man. Haters.
Haters indeed.
Haters are going to hate. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 59 of the NitroBeer Beardcast. I am Brian Belita, and I'm joined by a couple different people. I'm going to let them introduce themselves, because I don't know their names.
You have to, like,
designate
somebody.
All right, you go first.
I'm Imran, and I gave this podcast a 9 out of 10.
You piece of shit.
It's a little derivative of last week. I'm sorry. It's many of the same people.
Oh, man. All right, and we're joined by other NitroBeer regular.
Hey, what's up? I'm Mark Bradshaw. I have a confession to make. I also did not play Pixel Junk side-scroller on normal mode.
You son of a bitch.
But what's your score?
I also did not play Pixel Junk.
So what's the score?
Oh, definitely an 8. Definitely an 8.
Okay.
8 out of 10. All right, that's good.
That's fair.
And we are also joined by NitroBeard's European correspondent, David Marchmont.
Hello, and I would like to give NitroBeard.com an 8.8.
8.8, come on, man. Are you kidding me?
This is literally the worst thing that's ever happened.
It really is. It's not quite a 9 because, well, it's just not.
Do you have any idea what you've just done to the Metacritic score of NitroBeard.com?
I imagine I brought it down quite significantly.
You did. We were at 94, and that 8.8 probably brought us down to... I'm trying to do the math here.
93, perhaps, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
93.88.
How will I feed my children now?
I got kids to feed. Yeah, so hello, you're listening to NitroBeard. And for those of you not aware, we were reading. That entire conversation was made up mostly of direct quotes from a thread on neogaf.com, believe, about... a controversial review from Eurogamer on Uncharted 3, Drake's Deception.
Maybe the deception was, it looks like a 10 out of 10 game.
Oh my god. So yeah, there are a bunch of people on this thread moaning and groaning at an 8 out of 10.
And it was a well-defended, and like, even if I don't necessarily agree with it, Eurogamer's review, basically the issue they had with it, was that you have these scripted sequences where you're supposed to jump from, like, say, box to box while they're falling out of a plane.
Right.
And if you try to do something like jump to a box the game doesn't want you to, you just die. And I think, like, the game Uncharted is trying to be, that makes sense, that it wants you to follow the scripted sequence, but I can see why every reviewer doesn't think that's the best thing ever.
And step number one to accepting that and being okay with an 8 out of 10 is to remember that reviews are subjective.
Well, it's also to remember that 8 out of 10 is still really high.
Yes.
I just like to directly quote from that thread there, Brian, where it says, quality is not subjective, however.
Son of a bitch. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that told you, sir.
Ban this man.
Whatever, man, you can't judge opinions.
You can't judge... I can, that's... It's my opinion.
This is the first podcast I've been on with David, I think.
Has it? Were you not on the last?
Yeah, I wasn't on the last one.
He wasn't on the last one, and then we did the Deus Ex one, yeah.
And you guys...
So this is like the first time I've talked to you since I moved out of England.
Right, you guys have actually met in real life.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that experience.
Let's see. I remember one time I came up to you a night after I got really, really drunk, fell down face forward and broke my glasses, and I had a huge red mark on my face, and I saw you on the street, and I explained the story to you, and you started laughing.
Well, I mean, it was... I didn't... When it was, people explain that to us...
Suspect, but...
Yeah. It was a funny story. I didn't expect it. I didn't think you were telling me for the sympathy. I thought
he
wants me to be receptive about this and laugh, so I laughed.
It was pretty hilarious.
I mean, I actually started laughing before that because I thought someone had hit you, which was hilarious as well.
That's what other people thought too. They didn't think that it was possible for me to just fall down face forward.
It happens. So have you seen? I mean, did you guys know each other from the internet at large prior to that, or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like we posted independently that we're going to the same school.
Right.
Oh. Yeah. Well, it was like after someone deleted my account on the platform, this website, and I remade my account after about 6 months because I thought I didn't know what was going on, so I just thought maybe I can come back.
So you have no idea how much drama was centered around that. Like people were blaming each other. Like who made him quit? Who made him leave?
Oh God.
And it was, really?
We had no idea that like somebody accidentally deleted your account.
Yeah, I just thought, well, I'm obviously not welcome here. So.
We don't take kindly to your kind around here.
Don't like British folk here, so.
Thank you for that stunning interpretation. So being that you are Nectarbeard's official, unofficial European British correspondent, what do you have to say for Eurogamer's rating of Uncharted 3?
Well, I think obviously part of the European massive conspiracy that obviously exists.
And
Eurocentric fascio conspiracy.
Yeah, right. Where we rate down US games and big up the UK and European games.
Frankly, well, I think...
Pardon me if I'm wrong, but isn't Nathan Drake an American?
Well, I think he is, yeah.
And so he's proud to be one.
And you've got to understand that Eurogamer is European, and France
really?
Is in Europe.
Wondering.
Well, yes, it's and France is in Europe. And they don't like the Americans.
How does it feel being?
I thought it was Eurogamer. So you're actually saying Eurogamer?
Yeah,
like
Eurogamer.
Like you're a gamer.
Yeah. You're a gamer. No, you are.
You're a gamer.
That's kind of like how whenever I hear the name of the bank Wachovia, I always think of
Wachovia.
Wachovia.
It's Wachovia.
Wachovia.
Damn you, it's Wachovia.
We should retrofit Nitrobeard into like a really belittling gaming site. Like, I'm sure you'd like this, if you like crap.
Oh, man. That would be the best.
Well, I can remember when you were talking about the review systems you were going to be using that were just completely nonsensical and didn't make any sense.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be a great thing. But, yeah, so maybe this Eurogamer rating of Uncharted 3 has something to do with the fact that Angela Merkel is not giving tons of money, tons of German monies... to Europe in general. Maybe, I don't know.
See, I like that, the whole Angela Merkel thing, because Berlusconi had, the Italian Prime Minister, had to ask her for money after a tape released where he called her an unfuckable fat ass.
That must have been like the most awkward meeting ever. You could just kind of see him kind of like sidling into the meeting room and trying not to be noticed by her.
Oh, good Lord.
He was talking on the phone to his assistant / pimp, who is blackmailing him with all these recorded video or recording phone conversations.
God damn.
Yeah.
And yet he still has like a 20% approval rating. 20% of people in Italy think he's doing a good job.
20%. See, that's a good rating. So in 80%, you should be happy
with. But you've got to wonder how many of those are his illegitimate children.
Oh, God, it's so
funny. If it works anything like American politics, you're always going to have like one third of the people who are always going to vote for the same guy or the same party, regardless of what horrible positions or things that those people have done.
Well, if it works anything like American politics, when they get told, they'll ask, like, what's your favorite name? And they'll choose a favorite name, and that's who they choose for approval ratings.
Obama is fun to say.
It is. I think that's part of why he won.
But it's also fun to say, here I am, rock you like a Herman Cain.
Did you guys see that new commercial he put on the web?
No.
It's just a close-up of a guy smoking, and then a really ridiculously close-up of Herman Cain smiling into the camera.
It's creepy.
Here's the thing. We're talking about it, so that commercial fucking worked.
I haven't seen it.
It worked in that we're talking about Herman Cain, but yeah. It also didn't work in that I have no desire to vote for him.
Pizza.
Well, you weren't going to vote for him anyway. Somebody out there, that message speaks to somebody. It completely revulses everybody else. But the people who were revulsed by it were already revulsed by Herman Cain. That message is getting out to that one fucking asshole who really likes smoking.
Oh man, Herman Cain must endorse smoking everywhere.
Well, what about the fact he got his economic policy from SimCity 4?
Yeah,
that was a great interview. It's like, and furthermore, I have no idea what SimCity is. For some reason, he's Colonel Sanders. I don't know why.
Would you like a pizza?
Yeah, there you go. This is policy on everything. This is pizza. Anyways,
which pizza joint did he run?
Godfather's.
Oh, God, that's terrible. It's like a rung above CeCe's.
I've never seen it.
Yeah.
We have Pizza Hut and Pizza Express, and that's about it.
But those places are terrible. Like, the good places in England are, like, these hole-in-the-wall places run by, like, Libyans.
Yeah.
Libyan pizza. Freedom.
And they know you as well. Like, I walked back into Marmont. This is... I'm going to be talking with a private joke to Imran now.
Mm-hmm.
I walked back into Marmaris the other day and he recognized me and I haven't been in for about 3 years.
Yeah, I told you that. Like, when I came back in May, he's like, oh yeah, I know you. It's like, how? I've been gone for 2 years.
And he got my order straight away. He knew exactly what I was having. And I don't know if that's embarrassing, but I've been in there so many times, he knows what I want, or amazingly good customer service on his part.
Probably both.
Maybe you just look incredibly predictable and he's just guessing.
So, speaking of customer service, good and or bad, I know I've recently had some run-ins with both ends of the spectrum. I think, Imran, didn't you have a thing with, like, Costco or, I don't know.
Sam's Club.
This is a complete aside, but whatever. I want to hear about it.
Basically, I bought a Vizio TV for my mom about a year ago, just over a year. And my impression of these big box membership stores is that if for whatever reason something breaks, you take it back. Like, and that's true of Costco, but it's apparently not true of Sam's Club. So I found this out when talking to them on the phone, and I apparently got very mad on Twitter.
And apparently, you don't remember getting mad on Twitter?
Well, I got mad, but I was like, I didn't think anything would come of it.
Right.
Like, I was just ranting for the ranting's sake.
Right.
Then Sam's Club Twitter contacts me, and it's like, give us your phone number, we'll try and work this out.
Right.
Long story short, eventually they ended up taking the loss on the broken TV, and they gave me, like, a TV of equal value, which was surprisingly amazing. Like, I'm sure they wouldn't have done it if I did not have X number of followers or was not complaining with their hashtag. But, I mean, they did it, so apparently you can use Twitter to maliciously manipulate companies.
Well, that's exactly what my run-in with
Is that going to be the tagline of this podcast?
Use Twitter maliciously. But no, that was exactly kind of my experience with Comcast, in that I kind of randomly posted a tweet saying, like, hey, Comcast, thanks for my, you know, random $15 price increase. I don't know. I can't even remember what I said, but, you know, they contacted me, said, hey, email, you know, so-and-so at comcastcares.com, and we'll see what we can do about your rate. And so I did. I wrote a probably longer email than it needed to be, but it basically ended with them giving me another year at the promo rate of like $40 a month instead of what they had me at, which was like it had just jumped up to like 65 a month or no, 70. So yeah.
So would I be mistaken assuming that both of you will still be spending money with both of these companies in the future?
Yeah.
So it worked.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
As long as we can accept that.
Yes. No, it did. And then on the other end of the spectrum, which, well, I guess it's not necessarily that the other end in that I had bad customer service with them, because I guess in the end it did work out, yes. But my mouse died. It started registering double clicks or single clicks as double clicks, which was really annoying in general kind of computer usage. but also super...
See, when you first started that, it said my mouse died. I was kind of depressed. I thought, you know, you had a little mouse.
Oh, God.
I was wondering, how is Sam's Club going to resolve this?
Poor old Algernon.
Yeah, but no, so it started registering single clicks as double clicks, which is really annoying in day-to-day use, but then also super annoying when playing Dead Island, because that would mean I was, like, selling things left and right that I didn't mean to. So,
dude, whatever. That's just turbo fire.
Right, exactly. Yeah, turbo mode. But so I bought it in, like, 08 or something, and it's a SteelSeries mouse. And I bought it, and I was way out of, the warranty range or whatever. And I called him up and said, hey, this is this. And he said, well, what's your warranty? And I said, well, I got it in August 08. And he said, well, it's out of the range, but hey, we'll send you a new one anyways. And so I was like, cool, sent him it and got my new one back shortly thereafter. So, yeah, customer service.
I just want to talk about how great EA's customer service is, actually. I mean, we've all got varying opinions about EA as a company as a whole, but yes, their customer service is amazing. I when you buy Mass Effect 2 DLC on the Xbox, it says this unlocks it for the PC as well, and it never does, so you have to go and ask them for it. So I asked them for that, and they tried to activate it, and they couldn't activate one of them, and I think it was something really stupid I'd bought when I was drunk, like one of the appearance packs. And so, instead of me just going, oh, okay then, they gave me 15% off any Origin game and Dead Space 2 on Origin.
Huh. Hold on. They gave you 15% off and you picked Dead Space, or they gave you 50% off and they gave you Dead Space 2?
They gave me 15% off any future purchase and Dead Space 2.
Damn. That's not bad.
And I mean, this was kind of like, oh, we can't activate it, so have this.
It's probably because they're reaming their customers and can afford it.
Yeah, pretty much, I would say. But as an individual customer right then, I was quite happy.
Yeah. With them. That said, I did see on the Steam sale today, you can get both Dead Space 1 and 2 for like $20. And I don't have Dead Space 2 yet, so I may hop on that. But as I was telling David earlier, I have enough games on my plate as it is right now. So I'll probably just wait for the Christmas sale when it'll be like $5.
You need that because Dead Space 2 is super good.
Sweet. Are you? I couldn't tell if you were being sarcastic there.
No, it is super good.
Okay, all right.
I made about a chapter or two of progress, and I just had to stop because I wasn't having any fun. I can't explain why. It just, the game seemed really boring to me.
I think it's because, compared to Dead Space 1, it's not particularly scary.
Right.
I don't think it has to be, because the character you're playing kind of knows everything about these things now.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, also, when you go into a room, you can see the seams, basically. Like, if I go into a room full of laundry machines, I know to put my back to the wall, because all those laundry machines are going to open, and monsters are going to come out.
Yeah, Doom 3 syndrome.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, there were some scenes later on, like, in the nursery, that was genuinely unnerving.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that whole sequence was completely unnecessary.
Oh yeah, it's totally unnecessary. That's the neat thing about that game. It's like the vast majority of the rooms you have to go into, once you really sit there and think about it, Isaac had no real need to like wander in there. He just needed to go to this console or whatever.
He just happened to have to go through a nursery.
Yeah.
Well, no, because the nursery level is, you go all the way through this nursery and come out the same door you came in.
Yeah. And maybe you got more ammo than when you came out of, but usually you don't.
You know what bothered me about that game is that you go through all these places where people have already been killed and attacked by monsters, and you'll see these dead bodies and like these paragraphs of text above them written in blood. Like, when did he have time to do this?
Yeah, his
head is clearly lopped off.
It's a Lovecraftian shit, you know?
Yeah, but no, from what I understand, that Dead Space 2 was less survival horror, I guess, at least pacing-wise, I don't know, than the first one, but whatever.
Yeah, it's definitely more action than
I did like that they made Isaac talk again, or for the first time, I suppose. Because, like, the first game, there was a point where, I don't know if you've played it, Brian.
Yeah, I've played the first one and beat it.
You know the big plot twist, where, like, everything goes wrong at once,
yes,
and Isaac's life is just in shambles, and all he does is facepalm and then move on. Yeah. That was a little unrealistic.
Yeah. I'd talk to myself.
I would swear. But, swear like a trooper.
But speaking of third-person video games, possibly in space, in which you shoot things, David and I have been playing a lot of Space Bros. Well, yes. I mean, Warhammer Space Marine, because they just put out an update which put in co-op. Unfortunately, not like campaign co-op. And I don't know why a ton of games seem to be doing this, where they don't do like campaign co-op when it's kind of almost already made for it, but they'll put in like, you know, a co-op survival mode or something like that, which is what this is.
I'm guessing it's probably a frame rate issue. Like, campaigns are probably not built for multiple views on the same thing.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, but...
but they do kind of some of the same stuff in this survival mode. I don't know. I'm sure there's stuff going on behind the scenes or whatever.
It's not like it'd be like a gameplay thing where like they have to design the levels, because you always have like your bros with you.
Right,
the
yeah. I mean, there's one part in the game where you kind of break off from them, but, you know, I can't imagine that one part would hold them back. But anyways, so they released kind of a survival style mode, where, you know, you and your space bros enter an area and you have to defend wave after wave after wave of orcs as they come in, occasionally with little side challenges, occasionally with like the objective of capturing a point, kind of like Team Fortress 2. And it's really fun. I mean, there's like a whole kind of XP and leveling system, because they had already put in kind of deathmatch and team-based multiplayer, in which you could level up and unlock, you know, perks and, you know, the usual fanfare of multiplayer games these days. But it didn't really appeal to me, the multiplayer. So the fact that they have co-op and, you know, I can kind of level up with my space bros is pretty fun. So we've been enjoying that, and it's really goddamn hard.
Yeah, it's. I think, like what you said, we got a full team of four people, each person taking a specific class, it wouldn't actually be too difficult.
Right.
I think it's incredibly well balanced for four people.
Yes, it does. There's you and no me scaling. Playing, it's there's absolutely hard. Yeah. There's no scaling on the levels, which is weird. So if you have just one or two people, it's really difficult. I've only played with a team of three total right now. And we do okay. We kind of hang on like the first area, and then you go into different areas. There are like four separate areas for five waves each for a total of 20, and it gets harder and harder. And we've only ever made it to the third, where we almost get demolished immediately. But with four people, we'll probably be pretty fun. And also when we have the kind of better unlocks, like the super hammer and whatever.
Yeah. And the game has a couple of, because it's been built from the multiplayer engine rather than the single player, and there's a couple of kind of inconsistencies that you can see why they've got them in the deathmatch. For instance, the Thunderhammer drop with the jetpack,
right?
In it only provides a half second stun in the deathmatch, because otherwise it would be completely overpowered and everyone would use it. But in the single player, it knocks orcs and chaos marines just flying everywhere, and because they've used the deathmatch version, the drop is not as useful anymore. And they should really have kept it with a single player one, because you're getting swarmed by enemies, and that's the whole point of that maneuver.
Yeah.
Is to clear out all these enemies, and it doesn't really happen anymore.
But yeah, so it's been really fun. It's a lot like scavenger mode in Left 4 Dead, if you need something to equate it to, although it's pretty easy to understand anyways.
It's horde mode.
Yeah, and it's horde mode, yeah. And it's a good challenge. It's almost you're almost always just barely hanging on, at least with two and three people. So it's been fun, and I've yet to beat that. Unfortunately, I think I'm almost there from what David told me. And once I beat that, I'm gonna really dive headlong into Dark Souls.
You're one incredibly irritating section away from possibly the greatest gaming experience I've had all year.
It was really, really good. I mean, it's just a really clean, solid, fun experience.
But there's a short 8 out of 15 10. Minutes... 7.9.
No!
But there's a short section, about a 15-minute section in that game, which was the most fun I've had in a game in a long time. It's absolutely brilliant how they've done it. But I don't want to spoil it for you, basically.
Yeah, please don't. But yeah.
People who've played this probably know the bit I'm talking about.
Yeah, more than likely. So I'm going to recommend... we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Sony and memory cards and Vita. And I think some other things, probably what we've been playing. We'll be back in a jiff. Thank you. Welcome back, everybody. We're back with me, Brian, Imran, Mark, David. We're here. Let's talk about video games.
So Renegade Ops is kind of broken.
See, I know you... Yeah, I don't know.
Have you actually managed to play Renegade Ops? Because it sounds like you have issues installing it.
Me, Mike, and Brian last night went to a co-op game. Because we ended up... The way I fixed it is I found a post on Steam forums that I drop a little thing into the files and it convinces the game I have a quad-core CPU. So that just lets me through, and I guess that was the big problem last night.
The game doesn't work unless it thinks you have a quad-core computer.
It didn't last night, and they've patched it to fix that and added a whole bunch of other problems.
Yeah, well, see, and I guess, and that was different. I mean, I know that they went through a big series of delays, which was really frustrating. It was supposed to come out on, what, the 14th?
I think it was supposed to come out, like, a week after the PSN XBLA versions.
Right, I think it was the 14th, and it just came out last night. So, it was, what, like a, what is that, 12 days? I'm terrible at math. Yeah, it was like a 12-day delay or something, and it kept getting delayed, like, more than once. So, but yeah, I mean, I had no problems launching it. I launched it up, and it ran fine. I mean, it did pop up the little box about, you know, as Steam usually does when you launch a game, does the DirectX thing and Microsoft C++ redistribute brutal or whatever. Except it popped up a little message for that, for the C++ thing, saying, error.
Like, your driver is too new.
Right, it said newer version installed. And I was like, all right, you want me to downgrade? And which was a little weird. But otherwise, I mean, it ran fine for me. And it's pretty fun, but I can understand anyone, I guess, who didn't apparently have the perfect setup to load it up the first time without any issues would be pretty
frustrated. Well, did you see what happened last night when we were playing?
I know we were driving around, and all of a sudden we decided to all go different ways, and then and then Mike and I met back up, but then you were off somewhere.
No. See, what happened is the three of us met back up, and then one of you bumped me out of bounds of the stage, and like I couldn't get back out. You can't kill yourself in that game, so like nothing would get me out. And eventually the game just crashed when you guys got too far.
Oh, okay. Well, damn. Well, next time we should just load up, like, the Steam voice chat so we can actually talk to each other about what's going on. But otherwise, I don't know, it's really fun. It's kind of like, I don't know, just super action-y, and it kind of embraces that. It's got, like, some super gruff army general guy who's like, all right, yeah, let's go. We're going to get that nuke. Got to save the civilians. Yeah, we know what to do. Drive cars. Blow shit up.
Well, it's like a top-down Just Cause without, like, a grappling hook. Basically just destroy as much shit as you can.
Yes, from a car with a machine gun.
It's a bit like the old Desert Strike games.
It's like Jackal.
I'm trying to think of...
Yeah.
It's like Off-Road Rally, the old arcade game, but with guns. And
with shootmans.
Yes, with shootmans. Shoot cars. Car shoots. Yeah. So, but otherwise, I mean, it's pretty fun and it looks nice. And it's got co-op fun, and you can be Gordon Freeman with antlions, which is kind of goofy, but neat.
The antlions are weird because they like, I don't think they worked very long on those things. They have like 5 frames of animation. It's the weirdest damn thing to see them like stutter along, as if like, you know, that was intended in the game the whole time. It's really jarring.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I haven't paid too much attention. But yeah, they act kind of weird. I don't know. I haven't tried any of the other cars, but they seem pretty fun.
I mean, I want to like the game. I just hope they fix it.
Yeah,
I'm going to put up a YouTube video after this podcast is over. It's basically what's happening to me right now is every time like I go a couple of minutes into the game, it'll hard lock for about 15 seconds.
That's frustrating.
Then it'll resume.
No, it can be really frustrating. Like I know with you, Imran gifted me this sequence game, this rhythm RPG game, and I loaded up at first and I played through like the first monster and got into the second one, and in the middle of the fight, the game just crashed. I haven't loaded it up since, but I just need to go back through it because they've put out a couple updates and patches since then. I mean, it can be enough that it turned me off and said, oh, well, I guess I'll just wait for them to fix this.
I've got enough to play. They don't have time to waste on games that don't work correctly.
Right. Yeah, I hear you. I'm trying to think of what game...
It depends on what you mean when it doesn't work properly, because there are certain games that are made better for not working properly.
Like Divine Cybernetics.
Exactly. Like, or if you ever played the old Boiling Point game, where you could blow up a police station with a single crossbow bolt, and you could get attacked in midair by flying panthers.
Oh man, Flying Panthers.
How could the game possibly not have meant to work like that?
Exactly, and then they fixed it. None of this worked, and it was just a really boring game after that.
Shit. But it's pretty fun. I don't know how long the game is, but I'm pretty sure Imran and myself and whoever else has it will probably be kind of co-oping and burning our way through it and blowing shit up and driving cars and doing stunts.
Yeah, it's good at what Avalanche is good at, which is big maps and destruction.
Yeah. Yeah. So that game is fun. There are some other new releases. I know Steam just put up a big sale today, including the Railroads game, like
zombie DLC.
Zombie DLC. Truly, truly, I think zombie have hit. I don't know.
I wonder how that works. Are you like running over zombies, or are you trying to escape a zombie train?
Well, I don't know, because if you look at the screenshots, there's like flying trains and things.
That's pretty fucked up. I'd play that.
Yeah.
Oh my god. And like pumpkins and stuff. I don't even.
But doesn't this game have like $4,000 worth of DLC?
Yes.
Anyway?
Yes. Yeah. There is a ton of train content. It's bizarre. It's so weird.
Well, it's because they have like spurgy like railroad enthusiasts who keep modeling like every train track in existence.
Right. And every like train model type.
There is no community in geekdom, because I mean these are geeks. Yeah, they are our brethren, but there is no community in geekdom more spurgy than the train community.
I don't know.
Minecraft?
Uncharted 3 community?
Uncharted 3 community.
Well, yeah, the GAF Uncharted 3 thread is pretty spurgy.
Gave and fromed. That's all I gotta say. So there's those video games.
There's the sorry to butt in. There's the Indie Royale pack as well.
Yes.
Which is kind of like the Humble Indie Bundle, which I don't know what the other three games are like, which are Sanctum, Nimbus, and Ares,
right.
Extinction.
Yeah, Agenda. Well, you know how I feel about Nimbus, David. Maybe.
Do I?
Maybe you don't. Do you? I've been raving about Nimbus for a long time.
Sanctum's not bad. Sanctum's basically third-person shooter tower defense.
Right, and I got that. I think, was it... Oh, God, I'm terrible.
I think it was last summer sale, because I did, too.
I think it was Drollo on the forums. I guess he got the Indie Royale bundle and already owned Sanctum, so he kind of posted up the code, and I got it. So, I don't know, I'll have to try that out sometime with some folks.
But the game I kind of bought this for was Gemini Rue.
Right, yeah. Tell us about that, because I've only briefly read about it, but I know it's a point-and-click adventure game. And
yeah, it's a fantastic... I've not got too far into it, so I can't really talk too much about it. And again, it's quite story-driven, so I don't want to spoil anything. But it's a really, really kind of cyberpunk-y... not first-person shoot, point-and-click adventure.
It's completely not that.
This couldn't be more not like that. But yeah, it's a fantastic kind of old-school point-and-click adventure that they just don't make anymore. And
lovely.
And a lot of kind of modern adventures, the logic doesn't work in the puzzles, especially ones made by anybody that isn't Telltale.
Right.
So you kind of fall back into clicking every pixel with every item.
Pixel hunting, to put every item with every item.
And you don't know why you've got to do stuff, but so far I haven't experienced that.
Oh, that's good.
They're really good logical puzzles that make sense, and they all seem to further the storyline. And it's so far, it's a very good game, and everybody should pick up this Indie Royale bundle, which is currently £3.02.
Right, which, and what is it? The earlier you get it, the cheaper it is, or something?
And if you spend
$50.
Yeah, that's like $50, yeah.
And if you spend in kind of, when you're buying it, you can set a slider, and on the slider there's checks. And if you hit one of those checks, it brings down the price again.
Oh, nice. Yeah. And from what I understand, I believe all those games are activatable on Steam, right?
Not Gemini Rue.
I thought Gemini Rue just hit Steam, or is it about to?
It's on Steam now, but the version they've got isn't the Steam version.
Ah, I see. Okay.
But it's the Desura version, which is kind of like the indie game version.
Desura. Yeah. Okay. I got it.
But I'm assuming that they'll give us the code at some point.
Yeah. 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 So that looks pretty cool. I saw it. I should probably just jump on it. But I've been buying so many. Well, not even, but yeah. No, I've been playing a lot of games lately. And there are more coming out. I mean, we're almost into November, and that's when all the big 11-11-11 or 11-1-11 games are coming out.
How many 11-11 games are there this year? Is it just the MW3?
Skyrim.
Or?
I don't know. They might be 11-1-11 too, but I know there's Skyrim.
Minecraft, supposed
to be. Yeah, quote-unquote Minecraft. Uncharted 3, yeah.
I assume Modern Warfare is in there somewhere.
Modern Warfare 2. Probably.
That is the 11-11-11-11-11.
Yeah. I think Uncharted is like next week. So
yeah, Uncharted and Sonic are next week.
Okay, so maybe those are
11-1-11. Modern Warfare. Then Zelda and something.
I think that's basically it, right? I mean, there's not a whole hell of a lot of like, big games left.
Mario Kart in December.
Yeah. I think all the HD collections are being pushed back, aren't they?
For you, Metal Gear Solid was pushed back. For us, it's apparently coming out the 8th.
Oh, well, that's nice for you.
Yeah, I'm not sure why they're doing that. Europe's the biggest market for Metal Gear Solid.
Well, I can't remember what game it is. It's coming out for you next week, but it's not coming out for us till the 24th of November.
Oh, I don't remember.
Quality. There are people who keep up
more
on this sort of thing.
FrontLineTribute.com.
That shows how badly this has been, like, clusterfucked by the industry.
Oh, yeah.
We keep up on this stuff, and we don't know what's coming out.
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings, War in the North. It's coming out everywhere in the EU and US, November the 4th, but in the UK, not till the 24th.
Oh, man. Is anyone here going to play this bothers me, the War in the North thing. This isn't actually based on anything Tolkien wrote, right?
Winter is coming. No, that's something else.
So it's like an original Lord of the Rings story?
Well, as I understand it, it's the war going on that he mentions once and never kind of goes into details about it.
So they have complete freedom to say, oh, he mentioned it, let's make it.
Yeah.
He has like stacks of books that no one's done anything with, and they say,
because other than Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, they're all shite.
Well, that's what we all assume, but I mean, they could, like, I don't know, do something with these things.
A Leaf Called Niggle would not make a very good video game.
Oh, man. Right, so I know what I... Are we done talking about Lord of the Rings?
Do we know enough about Lord of the Rings?
I don't think
something
really knows
something Mithril. I don't know.
Yeah,
I know that Left 4 Dead campaign.
Oh God, I hate that map.
Oh, Helm's Deep. Really? I hate that map. Yeah,
but when the music comes up, it's actually kind of cool.
Oh no, it's I don't know. It's cool once, but then that map just frustrates me.
It's too the it starting is, section is too big
and it's very bland. But I don't know. I'm so snobby now. I used to thrive on shitty user-made maps and, like, you know, Quake 1 and other video games. Duke Nukem.
They made a new shitty map for Duke Nukem. It's called Duke Nukem Forever.
A shitty new map?
It's really big.
Oh, God. But right, so I know what I wanted to talk about. We haven't even mentioned this once. Batman, Arkham City.
Spoil me, Brian, and I will, in fact, kill you.
No, I'm not, I'm not going to. It's going to be really hard, but no, I won't. Cause especially since there's no one here who has beat it, as far as I know.
I've not even played it, because I'm waiting for the PC version.
Yeah,
same. As far as I know, you're the only guys actually wound up playing it.
Okay, well, and it's amazing I did, because being a turtle gamer, and you know, having it, and, which is... Again, you know, whatever, having a job, having a wife, you know, things, whatever, and only being able to really play like an hour of video games at a time, maybe like, you know, a couple times a week. So it takes me forever to beat games. And add on to that I always like explore everything in video games. It takes me long times to beat games. But Batman Arkham City I actually beat over this past weekend. And I did the same thing with the same guy, my friend Sam, who's been on Programmer Gauntlet with me, which is a kind of MMA, but that's another story. But anyway, so last year or 2 years ago, when did Arkham Asylum come out?
2 years ago.
So 2 years ago, I met up with him. You know, we like took a day off, or maybe we did it over the weekend, and we just like, you know, we sat down and we just kind of hot seat swapped it, you know, just kind of swapped playing off and on, and we just marathoned through it. Like, we played, you know, from 2 in the afternoon until, like, 3 in the morning, slept for a couple hours, woke back up, and just went through the next day and beat it. And so we did the same thing this past weekend with Arkham City. And, yeah, it was a lot of fun. it's a great game. I mean, it's the same, you know, bat mechanics, and the same bat engine, I guess.
Same bat engine.
Exactly. It's exactly what I was going for. I don't know if it's the same engine, but I mean, the game obviously is gorgeous, and the fight system is just oh so satisfying.
Does he still have that move where?
Yes.
The ball crushing move.
Yes, and which is great because now since it's kind of the city is open ended and you can kind of travel. Well, I guess the asylum is open ended, but this kind of gives you more options for travel, which is really well done, really well executed. But now you can kind of on the glide kick that you do, you have one where you can kind of boost and speed up and take them down even harder. And if you do that, knock them down, and then immediately do the ground pound, you always, I mean, 100% of the time, if you do that combination of moves, you will do a Tony Jaa knee slam on their chest and then punch them in the nuts. Oh, God, I just punched my keyboard. I'm sorry.
In the nuts.
So, yes, they still have that. But, yeah, so I played through that, and because Arkham Asylum took us a really long time to beat, I think, maybe. I mean, I don't know. It might have been because we were playing on hard, or you know, we died a bunch and had to replay certain areas, but that took us seemingly longer than it took us to beat just the story sections in Arkham City. And I know Arkham City is open ended; they have a lot of side stuff, but we decided we'd pretty much just stick to the storyline, just so that we could make sure we'd beat it in half time or whatever, because we didn't know. And word around the internet was that like the single player campaign was I forget how long they were saying, but much longer than it took us to beat it, which was a little weird.
You're just burning through it without doing any of the side stuff, right?
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
Critical path, as they say in the industry.
Right, but I mean, we were just kind of curious just to see how we should allot our time in order to play it. And I forget what the sign said, but you know, they said, all right, you know, sticking to just the story will take so and so long. If you do all the side missions with the stuff, it'll take like 40 hours or something like that. I think we beat it in like 9 hours, I think. Sticking to mostly just the story stuff. If we ran upon like a side quest, we'd do it. We started playing at about, I think, 2:30 or 3 in the afternoon, and probably finished up around 1-2 a.m. I don't know how many hours that is. 8-9. That's like 10 hours, I guess, it took us to beat it. You know, factor in dinner breaks and stuff like that. But I don't know, and I guess you guys will have to let me know when you play and beat it, but ultimately, kind of at the end, just the way the story plays out, and possibly because we didn't do any of the side stuff, I at the end of it, after beating it, I kind of felt unsatisfied. And don't get me wrong, I mean, I love the game, it was a great game, playing it was a hell of fun, but I felt like I was missing something, and that the ending was kind of a cop-out and didn't make much sense.
Well, sure, but, I mean... The thing about the original Batman, not the original Batman, but Arkham City, Arkham Asylum, rather, god damn it, we never really seen anything like that before.
Yeah. You
know? Well, a good Batman game,
that style
game,
of game, a well-done, yeah, a well-done game, like that, it did a lot of things, you know, a lot of ways, like, the first, Asylum was kind of like the 3D Metroid we always wanted.
I could see that.
I kind of wonder if, like, moving it to, like, the sandbox kind of, like, harms a little bit. Now I gotta say this because I've not actually played the game. I wanna wait till I'm finished with the stock I've got right now. But I kind of have to wonder because the way it was set up in the first game, it was very direct. You know, you could set up all the little gameplay elements.
Right.
And this one, it has to let you go anywhere. You know, that's why the GTA games aren't really amazing gameplay experiences as much as they are just like crazy sandboxes for shit to happen. And that was the amazing thing about Asylum, was it's just amazing spot on gameplay.
Yeah.
So I kind of wonder if maybe that's hurting it.
Well, but, see, I will say this, because in Arkham Asylum, you still kind of traveled back and forth between a lot of the areas. You went back and forth a lot. So in that sense, it was open-ended. It was just more of a kind of confined environment in which that open world existed, and this one is kind of the same. And you revisit some spots, but actually not really. Well, I mean, not as many. You don't kind of revisit, and there weren't the kind of environmental changes like they did in Arkham Asylum. So I don't know. It's weird. I just had this weird feeling.
Do you
about
feel
it.
Maybe it was too soon? Maybe you think maybe they could have waited like 6 months or another year, and maybe like the magic would be back.
I don't know. Maybe they I don't know. I can't say one way or another. I don't think so. I think it was probably the right timing. I mean, I know I was chomping at the bits for it.
What also maybe is like Asylum just came out of fucking nowhere. No one assumed that game was going to be as amazingly good as it was, especially when we saw like the art that was coming out for it with like slutty Harlequin. It's like, what the hell is all this shit? This doesn't look right. And the thing, it turns out to be like one of the best games of the generation.
Yeah.
So you kind of had expectations for this game coming in. That might have been unfair to
us. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I just kind of wish they did a little more with the open world and some of the experiences. Because, like, I don't know. I don't think this is really a spoiler, but just in case you might think. Just one, it's going to be one of the side characters you run into. You won't really care about it. But so you run into again in this one.
Oh, you motherfucker!
Oh, god damn it! and you actually you team up with him, and it's just a little side thing. But I kind of wish they did that more, so you kind of interact with it a little bit more. But I don't know. So so I ultimately felt a little unfulfilled and thought the ending didn't really make that much sense and just kind of felt weird. But that's me. So
8 out of 10 from Brian Gamer.
8 out of 10 from BrianGamer.com.
Great. Now they're going to set our website on fire.
Gavenfromed. But yeah.
Here's the one thing that I'm kind of concerned with about this game. I keep hearing about all the secret collectibles and stuff. And
The Riddler puzzles, they're a ton. I mean, there are so fucking many of them. It's insane. And some of them are really complicated.
Does it kind of fall into that kind of like the worst of Rare's excesses, where the whole game was kind of just about collecting? Does it ever kind of feel like that? Or
No. They're there for you to do if you want to, but you don't need to. But sorry, I cut you off, Mark.
Well, the thing is, like, okay, let's take Assassin's Creed 2, for instance. Like, all the feathers and all the stuff you could pick up, you could always pick them up regardless of, like, where you were in the game, regardless, because you always had the skills to do it. Like, all of, the, like, the towers you could go to. If you saw a tower, you could go to the tower and jump down. You didn't have to worry about finding an ability. You didn't have to worry about leveling up.
That's actually not true in 2. In every other game,
yeah,
because
there is there's one tower. There's one fucking tower that doesn't tell you you need to double. Nice. Yeah. But the thing that kind of concerns me is, like, there's going to be a whole lot of, like, this secret stuff that I'm going to want to collect, but I won't have it until I have, like, the gadget or the ability or whatever. The game won't tell me, so I'm kind of concerned maybe I should just, like, play through the whole game the first time, then come back and get the collectibles once I have all the gear.
I would say this. That's what we did. We like I said, we stuck to the storyline, beat that, and then we kind of went back and started doing all the Riddler stuff and all the collectibles. And, you start off with most of your gadgets. There are only a couple that you pick up. Well, no, they're a good amount, but I would say this, I wish we had done this too, while you're kind of going through the city and playing the game, if you see one, stop and give it a shot. You'll know if you can get to it or not.
See, that's what concerns
me. And if you think you can but can't, just ignore that one. But I would definitely intersperse picking them up as you play the game, because it was mind-numbing kind of going through doing all these Riddler things after we had beaten the game. Because, man, we spent, like, when we beat the game, I think we were at, like, 50% maybe. And then we spent, like, another 6 hours doing a bunch of Riddler stuff, and we were at, like, 68%. There are a lot. There are, like, 400 Riddler things in the city. It's fun, but you should definitely intersperse it. And if you can't get one, just give it up. Wait till you have a gadget.
And how's the stealth in this game? Is it as good as the stealth in the first game?
No. I would say it's well, no, it's the same. I mean, sorry, it's the same.
Is it as good as the first game?
It's
because I think the,
I will
like,
say
the
this.
Stealth in the first game is like the best stealth in the
it,
world.
It was
like,
really good stealth. But
do you still have all the moves and stuff, like snatching people?
Yeah, you have all the moves.
Tying them up
and
upside
more,
down.
And more. But I will say that I think in this one, it's less necessary.
Are there still gargoyles in like weird places?
Yes, there are still gargoyles on the inside of every building and room. There's only one instance where you can't get to them. But I think in this one it's there. Yeah, stealth is less necessary because weren't there some where like if you got spotted you would immediately have to restart the section. In Arkham Asylum,
there were challenge rooms.
There were some story parts.
There
where,
were
like,
some
kill the hostages.
Right. Yeah. In this, okay. there were
gargoyles which had like time bombs.
Yes.
On them.
Yeah. There wasn't
as soon as you got on them.
There wasn't any of that in this one. At least I don't think so. But yeah, we didn't run into it. So yeah, there aren't any kind of necessary stealth. And I remember in Arkham Asylum, there were times where, you know, you would like, you know, spray your little bat explosive on the back of a wall and kind of sneak around and lure a guy over there. And the game kind of coaxes you towards doing this. In this one, there wasn't really any of that. So I don't know, maybe that's what they kind of relegated to the challenge rooms. You could still play some of the rooms stealthy if you wanted, and most of the time we did, but it was certainly less necessary.
So does he still take the time out to draw the little bat?
Yes, he still draws the bat fix, yeah. And it's funny because you can play Robin in some of the challenge rooms, and he does like a little R and a little explosive foam, so it's pretty neat.
Yeah, that annoys me unreasonably because I have to assume Batman, he like plans everything, right? He should have the optimized shape.
Right, it's like
sure
a stamp.
The optimized shape, it's not a damn bat.
Well, maybe it's to freak people out. Like they see some gel that looks like a bat, investigate it, then yeah. Bam, brick in the face.
You know, it's great because for the longest.
Maybe it's because he's saying, you're no threat to me. I can take the time to make this carefully intricate gel bat, and then yeah. I can come and punch you in the ball so hard you vomit.
Batman just gets out like an arts and crafts kit and just starts sitting there. Like, yeah, I can just do this all day.
Oh, man. But right, I remember for the longest time in Arkham Asylum, like I'd spray the foam and then I'd back up like around a corner or something and explode it. And then my friend started playing, and he'd just spray it and just explode it right in his face, and Batman just kind of like shrugs to the side and then walks through the rubble. And I was like, what? You can just explode it right in front of your face?
You're the fucking Batman.
He is the fucking Batman. So, yeah. But don't get me wrong. It was a great fucking game, and there are a lot of new mechanics that they just, like traveling around the city, especially when you unlock the grapple boost add-on, because you can, you know, you can fly around and you can grapple to a building and then climb up it and then run and jump off the building and glide around again. But if you do one of these kind of augmented reality training things they have, you unlock this grapple boost power, which basically lets you grapple onto a building as you're gliding and it'll pull you up with enough speed that you launch off of it and you just keep gliding around. So, but yeah, just really clean, just great game control, gameplay. Yeah, 8 out of 10. But yeah, so that's enough about Batman. I'm sorry. But yeah, maybe when you have played it, Imran, we can talk about the ending and how you feel about it. But yeah.
Will do.
That's.
Do we want to talk about the Vita thing next?
Yes, let's talk about Vita. I don't know. We might not get to what we've been playing, but that's okay. I think we've kind of alluded to it sometimes. But yeah, so tell us about the PlayStation Vita.
So it came out this week that certain games, including Uncharted, Disgaea, Hot Shots Golf, which I'm sure is a sticking point for you, Brian.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And, like, that really creepy, perverted Dream Club game. They will not boot unless you have a memory card in the Vita, regardless if you have the cartridge version or not.
And
you can't even play them without the...
Nope.
And correct me if I'm wrong, does buying just the most basic Vita package or game, you know, the console, sorry, does that come with a memory card of any kind?
No.
What was announced today is that there's going to be one SKU for America that does come with a memory card. It's $350. It's the 3D version. It comes with their version of Wii Play, I guess.
Right.
It's just a bunch of touchscreen games, stuff like that, and a 4 gig memory card.
4 gigs.
Yep.
That's going to be one game if you buy it from PSN, surely.
2012, they're going with 4 gigs.
What they're doing is, I think, promised $250 at E3, and now they can't back off. Like, they must have realized it's going to cost more than they think it does. So now they have to make money somehow, and they're thinking people are going to want Uncharted or Hot Shots or Disgaea. So,
I feel like they must have had some foresight into how much it was actually costed. I don't know. But it could just be their strategy to make that announcement and get people excited and then say, oh, well, sorry, you got all this DLC you got to buy.
I just got to wonder, like, what the public's reaction would have been. Because when we got the price of $250, everybody just freaked out and said, this is fucking amazing. Everybody assumes it's going to be like $400. What would people's reaction have been if they said it's going to be $300, it's going to have like, because 4 gigs is just stupid. So let's say 8 gigs of like internal memory with the memory card slot. People would have been happy with that, right?
Right. Well, given that, you know, that means you would probably be buying all your games, you know, on a cartridge or whatever. Is there a plan to release all kind of official big releases on as downloadable as well for this?
All releases, period.
All releases,
yeah. Day and day, isn't it? Yeah.
Here's the weird thing. On cartridges, you cannot have a backup of your save on the memory card. But if you buy the game from PSN, you can back them up. And the prevailing theory now is that they're doing this so publishers can do the one save for everything that they've started doing now. Where, like, if you try to trade a game and back, they'll give you less for it because you can't erase a save.
Thanks, Capcom. John.
That seems really silly.
Yep. I've been saying it for a while, but we're coming up to the point where all this shit about games becoming way more expensive is coming to a head, and they can't take losses anymore.
$60 PC games, man.
$60 PC games, Gears of War having a $30 online pass and $45 of a... Or not online pass, sorry, season pass, and $45 of weapon skins.
Right, wasn't there like 45... Yeah, at release, there was like $45 worth of DLC.
Yeah, and there's going to be more. They call that the launch pack.
I think as well a lot of it is that they are kind of absolutely desperate to not let this one be hacked because that's what killed the PSP. Like completely killed it.
I feel like it made it more attractive. Well, okay.
Well, it killed software sales.
It did kill software, yeah.
It made the hardware more popular, right. But it killed software sales. And I think they're taking away everything that they gave us with the PSP.
Maybe Imran, maybe you know this better than I do, but you do. That's why I'm asking. But how would you compare kind of PSP piracy to DS piracy? More prevalent, less prevalent, easier, harder.
The problem, like, they're basically equivalent in terms of piracy, but with PSP, the culture was different. Like, you had the assumption that every game was going to be downloaded. So you had, like, developers had to, like, incentivize keeping the actual game. With DS retail, you would make some profit even if, like, the game was downloaded a lot. So you'd still have a bunch of million sellers regardless of the fact that DS flashcards were sold in stores.
Right.
I guess the big problem with PSP piracy is that everything you need, you don't need to order anything online. You can just have it when you bring the PSP home.
Yeah.
And that was probably the big issue. And if it were a cultural event, if it were the same popularity as the DS, maybe they could have gotten around it with software. But, I mean, it was kind of a distant second place that became more popular hardware-wise because of the piracy.
Yeah. How much memory does the DS or what's the DS? Wait, what's the new one?
3DS,
sorry. how much memory does that have?
2 gigs on board, of which 1.5 gigs you can access yourself, and SD card slot.
Right, and of course, but I mean, game saves are obviously always done on the cartridge, unless it's a downloadable game or whatever.
They're always on the cart.
But those aren't, I mean, why, all their downloadable games are not very big at all, right?
I think they have a maximum capacity of 100 or 200 megs.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, but in regards to like the 4 gigabyte thing on the pack-in, but that's like an extra pack. That's an extra cost outside of the regular, the basic 250 gigabyte or the 250.
They're calling it a pre-order bundle only right now.
Right.
Yeah, but I think where the lower SKU doesn't exist in stores.
Right.
Yeah, that might be what they're going to end up doing. Like, it's going to be like the PS3, maybe.
Yeah. Well, I said, oh, you got this lower SKU, you could never find it anywhere.
Right,
they made like one.
Just in regards to that, I mean, the 4 gig thing. I mean, what the original PSP came with, like what, a 256 megabyte card?
32 megabyte
card.
Yeah.
Jesus. which was okay for saves and stuff, but
but that was 2004.
And that was with the basic bundle. I mean, this is
back
back then we also assumed that we'd be watching like movies on the PSP using UMDs, which is amazing.
Yeah, it was you know, a good attempt, but yeah.
But this thing is supposed to be like, it's your gaming handheld, and if they want people to actually use this fucking thing, then they also need to make it like your multimedia hub, and you can't do that without like a certain amount of storage.
Right. I mean,
and like, I would say the baseline for that is at least 8, is probably actually 16.
God, I mean,
I think it's weird because literally all of the Vita's competition, the iPod, the 3DS, the iPhone, Droid phones, they have expandable memory. I don't think the Apple stuff does,
right.
But the rest has expandable memory.
We're not,
but you always have a default thing there. You don't need to buy something else to be able to play the
game. I mean, not only is there expandable memory, but the memory they come with is huge. It's more than enough for most things. I mean, I would be fine if the Vita, I mean, that, like Mark was saying, was like $300, but came with, and this would obviously, I mean, built-in memory, you know, flash memory actually as part of the system would probably be a lot cheaper than a card. At least, I don't know how they manufacture them. But yeah, with like, you know, 16 gigs of memory or something like that.
See, the big problem is that it's proprietary memory. So yeah. It's going to be Sony made and Sony priced.
I mean, just, but
like,
there's got to
be
other...
remember when the PSP came out, how big those, like, even above a gig, how much those cost?
Yeah. They were expensive. I remember I got like a 4 gig for six. And of course, I mean, we're looking at hard drives where, you know, a gig is like, I don't even know. It's like less than a dollar.
Under a dollar a gig, surely.
If we go straight by like yen to dollar conversions, like going by the actual exchange rate, we're looking at about $145 for the largest card.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. And this... I'm still excited for the Vita for games, and because I really enjoyed the PSP and as a system and I guess as an idea, but I was planning on picking up one kind of at launch maybe, but with this I might just fall back to my usual never buy first gen hardware and kind of wait for when they inevitably release a Vita 2 that has onboard memory.
I'm going back and forth on it. Like, I kind of want it, but at the same time I feel like the other shoe is dropping constantly here.
Yeah. I mean, I guess...
Yeah, every new... When I first saw it, I was like, wow, that's amazing. I'm going to get it straight away. And then every new piece of information that came out, I've just kind of dropped less and less and less.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'll see what the situation is at launch. I mean, I'm at the point in my life where I have, you know, kind of a good amount of expendable income, you know. But still, you know, I try to make informed and smart purchases. So, I don't know. I'll see what's on my plate but I may wait for,
well, I think one of the big problems is that Vita is coming out in end of February.
Right. Yeah. Not a good time.
The $350 you'd be spending on all the stuff you need for the Vita, that's a bunch of different games that are coming out around then too.
And it's almost an iPad 2 too.
Or a top of the range graphics card for your PC.
Yeah.
Well, my computer's fine. My computer's going to be fine for like, you know, 5 years. I usually try to build it with a 5-year life cycle in mind with minimal upgrades. But I mean, we'll see. I mean, I still don't have a 3DS, you know, so I'm missing out on a bunch there, but it's not like I feel I've been missing out or anything.
This is going to be like the first kind of handheld generation since the original Game Boy, where I might not have a dedicated games handle.
Yeah, same with me.
Because I'm not going to buy the 3DS flat out.
Yeah.
And the Vita is becoming less and less interesting by the day.
When did the first PSP, the original PSP revision come out?
Let me Google it. It's a PSP 2000. It was the one with the slightly lighter skin, or slightly lighter shell.
Right.
And the 3000 had this... green.
Let's see.
If I recall correctly, the only real reason for the 2000 to come out was to fight piracy.
Let's see. The
2000. Yeah, that was a good deal in.
Yeah.
So let's see.
The updates kind of came thick and fast after that.
Oh, here we go. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, the original PSP was 2004. And, okay, yeah, the PSP 2000 was 07, then another one, 08.
I don't know if you can really do that this time. Because, you know, the thing is, like, you're encouraged to, like, upgrade your phone every 2 years. I don't think they can get away with like, waiting 4 years between revisions of this thing, though.
No.
especially considering.
Well, I mean, Apple does one every year, you know, and people jump all over those, but you know, that's something.
They actually do like their form factor change every 2 years.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah. I was thinking the other day that like somebody desperately needs to make a version of Siri that I can call Jarvis.
Yes.
And it
yes.
speaks back to me in the Iron Man voice.
Oh yes, I was
desperately by that.
I was also going to say, Gertie, I can't remember his name now. Kevin Spacey talks back to you from Moon.
Or GLaDOS, like that one video.
Yes, that would be great. Yeah. So that's video games. Is there anything else? I think we're probably wrapping up.
I did want to mention that before just a couple minutes. I think I managed to end my Dark Souls game yesterday, and not by beating my Dark Souls game.
Oh no.
I don't know how many. Brian, have you played it?
I'm going to try to beat War Space Marine tonight, so that I can really sink some time in, because I still haven't started up a new game after getting a little bit in with my Thief and not really enjoying that.
Here's a pro tip from Nitrobeard. Buy a weapon repair kit and make sure it's on you at all times.
I
walked into this place called Blighttown, and it's like it's more vertical than it is horizontal. It's really difficult to tell like how to get out. And like a little ways in, there's a bonfire, and right, and like anytime you die, you show up at this bonfire. So I managed to get to the bonfire there in Blighttown, and sure enough, the first thing I fight, I get a message that my weapon just broke, and yeah, so you
started punching.
Can't fight my... No, because my guy's a wizard and he can't punch for shit.
The wizard.
And, he's. I can't fight my way out of there, and yeah, I might be dead. That might be it for me.
Yeah. So I'm gonna be Space Marine tonight, and then I'll probably be right there with you, Mark.
Oh, I do want to share. Yes, a Gears of War story.
Oh, okay, Gears of War, and then we can also pimp your stream that you're doing on Sunday.
Yeah. So, like, Mike and I, friend of the show, Mike and I, have been playing Gears of War the entire series over the last month. We just finished 3 last night. And one of the battles we were having was against this thing called an Armored Candace, which is a big thing with 2 of the strongest pistols in the game, who constantly fires at you and can only be hurt by explosions. And you have to fight 3 of them in 1 room. So we were having a huge problem fighting this thing. And at the last, like, I had a torque bow, which is our last resort. So we were fighting 1 last Cantus. He was on the other side of the room. Mike was desperately trying to attack it with grenades, and he went down at the last second to go into cover. And right the second he went down, the Cantus roared. An arrow from me shot directly into its mouth and exploded, taking off its head.
Oh, nice.
This is like the most fantastic moment I've had in video games all year.
Oh, that's awesome. That's pretty
good. Yeah, and about the Halloween stream, this Sunday, I'm doing it the October 30th, because I don't want to do an actual day of Halloween. I'll be streaming a bunch of scary and not-so-scary kind of stupid Halloween-themed games. I'll probably put up a post on Nigerbeard with a link.
Like Trains.
But, yeah. It's going to be all day stream.
Trains versus zombies.
There's going to be Onichan Bara, which is Bikini Zombie Slayer.
That's scary.
Yeah. But yeah, it's going to include some stuff you've probably seen, stuff you probably haven't seen, like in English translation of Fatal Frame 4.
Amnesia, see how far you get through it.
I got 20 minutes into that game before I freaked out.
I got, you know when you just start and then the wind blows down the corridor?
Uh-huh.
First time I played it, that happened, I logged off, didn't play it again for 2 weeks.
But yeah,
I should really go back to that.
Amnesia, it's on the Steam sale now, you really should buy it.
Indie survival horror, except it's not really survival, because you're going to run from everything anyway.
It's more kind of insane horror.
Yeah. But yeah, so check out Imran's stream shirt. It'll be up on Nitrobeard. Check our various Twitter accounts, etc. But yeah, so that's been episode 59 of the Nitrobeard Beardcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Brian Belita. I'm going to let these guys say goodbye. Goodbye.
See y'all.
I'm downgrading this podcast to an 8 out of 10.
Yarr!
An instant 30-page forum thread.